I moved to Redondo Beach, and I went from, like, middle of nowhere Massachusetts with a class size of 100 to a class size of, like, 1,500. And so it was a big shift, but they had an actual jazz band and an actual band and an actual wind ensemble. And I started studying with one of the teachers there, and he told my mom that she needed to go out and get me a sea trumpet, because if I wanted to, I could be a performance major, I could go to one of the top conservatories. And so that was the plan since I was, I think, 16. I had known that I wanted to play trumpet since I was 9 years old as my career. And so I practiced, and I auditioned at Juilliard and Eastman, San Francisco Conservatory, Boston Conservatory, New England Conservatory. And I got accepted. I was one of three women in the entire trumpet studio when I began. In the jazz studio, there were no female trumpet players, and in the classical studio, there were about, I think, 12 to 15, and we never had more than four women the entire time. That's when I started realizing that the mindset that I had always just attributed to boys in high school was just like a cultural mindset of a lot of guys in brass. And it didn't really, it took a little while for me to realize, and my teacher even said, you know, you're not going to get as many opportunities because you're a girl. You're not going to, you're not going to get the principal parts as easily, because you have to not only be better than them, but you have to be way better than them to be getting the same parts that they'll get, because the conductors have always had male trumpet players as the principal in the orchestra. And that was frustrating. And I played, I remember my junior year, I had a great audition at the beginning of the year, and I was getting all of the principal stuff that I wanted, which was great. I played principal on Mahler 4, Britten, Young People's Guide to the Orchestra, Young Person's Guide, Britten 4C Interludes, which is one of my favorites. And then I started presenting with an autoimmune disease, or my mom and my sister both have lupus and fibromyalgia and arthritis in some form, and so I started realizing that I was getting sick, and so I had my doctor tell me, and I finished everything else except for my final jury that year. After my last brass class, I stopped playing because they didn't want me, if it was arthritis, to do any permanent damage. And there were so many tests that they needed to do. I tried to go back for my senior year the following semester, but ended up having to take a year off in the middle of my undergrad, because it was just taking so long to get diagnosed, and I didn't get diagnosed until the August before my senior year. So it was a lot, but I had a guy trumpet player who was mad that I had gotten all of those parts, because he wasn't seeing me practicing as much. So he took my trumpets. I worked in the school cafeteria part-time. I did the concessions for Jordan Hall. And he took my trumpets and he hid them in the trumpet studio, because the security guard came out. There was a new manager at the or assistant manager at the cafeteria. I would always leave my stuff in the same place when I was working across the street. Mm-hmm. And she, first day, didn't know. She brought it out in security. He said, no, I know who that goes to, I'll take that. And so he hid it for a week, which I had thought that I had put it in my locker. And he wanted to just make a point that I wasn't practicing enough to know where my trumpets were. It was something that was like ordered by the doctor. And there's also like a cognitive part. I have fibromyalgia. There's a cognitive part of that where it affects your memory and your, you know, I'll have days where every word is like on the tip of my tongue. And I've had days where I don't completely remember what my middle name is. Like, that's how much it can screw with you. Mm-hmm. And so I was not yet medicated, trying to figure out what was going on, and this guy took my trumpets and hid them. And a French horn player told me, I realized that they were missing, and a French horn player told me, oh yeah, this kid took them and hid them in the trumpet studio. And that, I think, is just like the perfect example of what it's like to be a girl in that situation. I didn't realize that being a brass player was going to be such a boys' club. And honestly, I went into college really excited because I wanted to collaborate with other people who really love the trumpet as much as I do. And I left college knowing that I never wanted to be a performance person. I finished my degree, but I realized that I couldn't do it as a career because it's exhausting to fight with them all of the time. Because you need to be one of the guys and cool to hang, but never say anything that might slightly offend them. Be cool with them insulting you all during rehearsal. And then also, they want to make sure that they still have a chance to sleep with you too. And it's just like, in the Me Too era, one of my first thoughts when Me Too started was, I wish that had been when I was in college, because then there would have been more ramifications. I mean, I was called like bitch and slut in front of my wind ensemble director.
And they didn't say anything.
Nope. It was for a piece for all brass, so it was a bunch of guys, and there were two other girls on there. It was me and another girl, only women on that stage. And you know, the teachers, or the guys that were playing the VSO in the 70s, 80s, and the guys that are playing in there now are better, but we couldn't wear leggings to, like, I couldn't wear the pants I'm wearing now to a lesson, because those aren't jeans. Those aren't pants. Leggings, for some reason, weren't allowed. You couldn't wear a dress or a skirt. It got to the point where I had a change of clothes in my locker, like jeans and a t-shirt that I would wear to my lessons and then just keep in there because, you know, I couldn't wear, like, you couldn't wear a skirt that goes past your knee to a lesson because, oh, well, you can't sit and play in that. It's like, then why are we sitting in front of a mirror? Like, we can't move it so that I can still see from a different angle how I should be sitting, or I can't sit in this lesson with you with a skirt because that's what, like, you're in your 70s or 80s, like, what are you doing? And other classes, like brass rep, the class I was most excited to be in, because we would play through the brass sections of major symphonies. So we would play, you know, our normal, like, orchestra rep in the morning. It was 9 to 12 for orchestra. And then brass rep was every Friday for 2 hours, where we'd play, like, Wagner and Mahler and Strauss and, like, Respighi and all of this really cool stuff. And I was so excited, because that's what you dream of when you're a trumpet player, to play in an orchestra. And that ended up being the class that, like, they wanted you to be sorry that you, and apologetic the entire time if you were in there and a girl. Like, one of my friends won her seat in brass rep. We did auditions, like, my senior year for brass rep. So they had good one and bad one. And she won her seat in the good one.
Mm-hmm.
But another girl who was very apologetic and always like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that I exist, went and cried to one of the teachers. And they didn't like the other girl because she was forward and would speak her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got demoted for no reason. There wasn't even an audition between the two of them. There was nothing. It was, one girl was acting the way they expected a trumpet player to act if it was a girl. And one was, you know, a normal human being. I once had an entire class where I was sitting directly in front of the conductor, and the other guy playing first trumpet wouldn't let me play. And it was 5 minutes left to the class, and I've never, I don't know about you, I've never cried in, like, at school or in a professional setting because I was like, oh no, I'm so sad right now. Oh no, they yelled at me. It's you cry because you're frustrated, and you know that you can't yell at the person you're mad at because they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just ended up, like, crying, and he's like, oh, what's the matter? I'm like, I have been sitting here for an hour and 55 minutes, and you have not once, like, I haven't played a single note. And he was like, oh, well, why didn't you speak up? Like, the amount of times where other people were talking to me and I got yelled at as the person for talking in that class were, like, beyond measure. And, yeah. And that teacher had multiple students, mainly girls, start crying because he would act like we were, like, one of my friends was excited, like, oh my God, we're playing Finlandia. And it turns out I was playing principal, the trombone playing principal, and her. We had all played it together in junior district, like, when we both, like, started playing.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, how funny is that? That's really exciting. He's like, play through it, and he goes to her, not district, is it? It's like, why did you have to do that? She came into class excited, prepared, and happy to play, but for some reason, that wasn't allowed. I'm sure if the trombone player had said that, he would have been like, oh, that's interesting. So it was just, and there's a lot of stuff like that, and it just got so frustrating dealing with all of it that when I graduated college, I didn't touch my trumpet for like 2 years afterwards. Because I went in so excited, and I know, like, you go into college and you don't realize what it's going to be like to be a musician, really, but that wasn't what turned me off of everything. It was my interactions with the guys in power that you have to, like, deal with. And, I mean, going into orchestra rehearsal and having the second trumpet be telling you that you don't sound good, even though the conductor thinks you sound great,
mm-hmm.
being like, well, I wouldn't play it like that and stuff. I mean, I'm like a strong person, but I just decided that I could no longer, like, waste my energies
mm-hmm.
dealing with, like, that, like, the craziness of all of that. And one thing that I also wasn't really able to do in college, which made me sad, is I love playing jazz. I love playing with big bands.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, like, no way for me to really fit that in my schedule. Because if I have to be up at 6:30 to get to school for 8 to warm up for 9 o'clock rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stay for a jazz band class that starts at 8
mm-hmm.
that night. So that was something that I was really missing. I started playing again like a year ago now. A year and a half. But I started, someone needed a trumpet for Kiss Me Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and I played with MIT's Gilbert and Sullivan Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I played in Kiss Me Kate. And it's just a bunch of people who music's their hobby, and it was a really friendly experience, and everyone was just really, everyone's really just happy to be there being an orchestra for that ensemble. And then I started playing for Harvard GSP2, and it's been great. Everyone in the ensemble is just like very mellow and gets along, and it's nice to be in a, you know, place where like your musicianship is appreciated. And my mindset for all of those kind of things is I'd rather go in and play
mm-hmm.
because I'm a good trumpet player, and if they don't get the orchestration they need, they're going to use like a CD if they have to. And so it's a different experience singing with and performing with a live orchestra. So, and that's my mindset with like high school or middle school productions too. Like, go in, play, and like they get that experience, because
mm-hmm.
that's something else. Like, a lot of people perform now, and they perform to, you know, a lot of stuff on Broadway is getting done with a CD, which is sad.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can give people that, like that experience, I feel like that's good. And that was my mindset getting into it. And then I played with a few orchestras in the city, and I realized that pretty much every time I'm in a section with guys, there's always drama, no matter what. Like, I just want to stay in my lane, play my part, and keep my head down.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, it seems like there's always something. And I know that the majority of trumpet players out there are guys. And I've had, like, so many, like, comments. I just, like, try to blend in and be whatever. And it's like you wear a different mask when you're playing with a group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always like, oh, yeah, you chill out like a dude. It's like I learned how to do that, you know, in college.
Mm-hmm.
To just be, like, one of the guys, because you can't be a girl in those settings. And I started playing with Mood Swings in October. One of my friends that I actually made playing Kiss Me Kate tagged me in like the Facebook group post. And I connected with Jude, and I went into rehearsal and played through some stuff. And they said, yeah, we want you to be in the band. You can be the second solo trumpet. And it's... I remember my second rehearsal, I was super nervous still, and I just completely bombed a solo in American Patrol. And Jude goes, you know what? She was passing around a tiara that night, and she gave it to me. She's like, you know what? Amelia gets the tiara because she played all tonight without a lead trumpet player, and nailed every solo except for that one. And it's like, we're just so excited to have her here. So it's like, everyone's just mindful of being accepting and that we're all here to make music together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in a lot of like mixed sex ensembles where they say that that's the purpose. But I feel like it falls on the people in the ensemble to dictate what the culture is.
Mm.
And Mood Swings is really a place where we have a high expectation for our musicianship and everything, but I feel like as it's all women, like there's egos are set to the side, and we're all just here to make music rather than I go into, like, some orchestras I've played with, you go into that, but the first trumpet player still has an ego, and he has to let you know that you're a girl, and you're the second trumpet. I'm like, I'm literally just trying to make you sound good. I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's been really great to play with them. And all of the gigs that we do afterwards, you know, go grab a beer or just hang out, and it's just, it feels like what I was expecting, like, a group to be when I got to, like, a professional level. I wasn't expecting it to, I wasn't expecting that people still acted the way that they did in conservatory, kind of thing. Because that's what I was telling myself to, like, get through high school. It was like, I'm gonna go to conservatory, it's going to be different. And I practiced and I worked hard and I got into one of the top conservatories in the US, and it was no different. And then I, you know, kind of give up on it for 2 years and go back to it and get, like, by luck, get to play with this group, and it's exactly what I thought it was supposed to be. Like, everyone's just, it's like a family kind of feeling. And everyone wants to get to know you better. And sometimes, like, when I get, like, to rehearsal, I'm quiet and just, like, trying to get my stuff in order. But there's always someone who comes over and says, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, and it's really nice to meet you. And talks, like, is asking about your day and how everything's going. And that's really not the way that I've experienced in anything since I was, like, in community band as, like, a small kid. And, or, well, I guess the GNS productions have been like that too, because it's all, like, we're just playing for, like, everyone, but it's nice to, like, go and make music with people who just want to make music and have a good time playing,
mm-hmm.
rather than having it be, like, be just like this very toxic and, like, competitive and stressful thing. Yeah.
And the women who you trained with at the conservatory,
mm-hmm.
are they still playing?
Some of them are. I think most of them are. None of them have been as successful as the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one of my friends went to Rice, where the teacher was a female professor, but notoriously sexist, and she'd win every audition. They audition for every orchestra cycle.
Mm-hmm.
She'd win every cycle, but her teacher would find a way to be like, she would get her to confide in her, like, oh yeah, I'm feeling a little bit down. It's, you know, I've never lived outside of Massachusetts before. And she'd be like, oh, well, she's depressed. I don't think she can handle this part, to the conductor.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's, like, that's real life happening. And it's also, like, in the 80s and 90s, being a woman and, like, that kind of thing, I feel like music industry is, like, at least 20 years behind more progressive, like, workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, like, a token thing to be a female trumpet player. And so they still have the mindset that there's only one spot for that. There's only one spot to be the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just inspires, like clawing each other's eyes out to be that one thing. And that's just playing into the entire game, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the second they started doing blind auditions for orchestras, women started getting in like that. The problem is, the last round for any brass section is sitting with the section. And then you have to go through a year-long, like, period to see if you get tenure. Mm-hmm. So you could win the job, or you could be the best person in every round of the audition, but because the first trumpet or any of the other trumpets, if they have a mindset where they don't like you, you're not going, or the conductor or other people in different sections, mm-hmm. you're not going to get tenure and get that job. Yeah. So, I'm not trying to be like Debbie Downer, but...
No. This is what it's all about, because we need to make sure that people's voices are heard.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of... There was also, like, there's the Me Too in Boston. I know that it's... I know a few of the girls who... spoke about Eric Hewitt. He used to be the wind ensemble director at Boston Conservatory. Mm-hmm. And there was an expose in the Globe because he ended up, date raping someone, one of his students. And there, since I got to Boston, that's one of the worst kept secrets, is that Eric Hewitt is a creep. Mm-hmm. The worst secret Boston had was that James Levine was a pedophile. Everyone knew it. But no one in that orchestra wanted to risk losing their position in the BSO because they weren't going to win against the music director. Mm-hmm. And the BSO wouldn't tour in Italy. Parents in the BSO would say to their kids to stay away from him. Never be alone with him. Like, come to me if, like, you feel uncomfortable ever. And they're, like, warning their own kids and stuff, but it's, like, it was just because he's the music director of the BSO and of the Met, who's going to say anything or do anything? Mm-hmm. And there's still, like, I know all of my friends who are in, like, professor roles now, they're all very cognizant of, like, making sure that they treat everyone the same, and, you know, you have to... I was talking, actually, with Sean about this. He teaches saxophone lessons, and he's like, there's no reason why you ever should need to touch your students. Mm-hmm. Because you need to figure out a way to say in words, even if you have to figure out a million different ways to say it until it clicks, how to say how they need to be sitting, or show them yourself and then be like, look in a mirror or videotape yourself, you go like this when you're playing. But there's no reason for your teacher to be like, push out here and here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason why your teacher should ever be touching you. But a lot of teachers, that's what they do. And they're paranoid, oh, I'm gonna get fired because of this, and this is all just, like, liberal, like, conspiracy. It's like, no. If you're going to be a teacher, you need to know how to teach. And that's not, like, I don't know, bodily contact shouldn't come into it, honestly. I studied with my teacher for 4.5 years, 5 years, and, he was like, nope, he always was great about being like, no, you need to, like, shift this way, and you see how that feels when you sit like this. He's like, you got it. See how it feels, and you feel how the air moves? That's how you should be sitting all the time. So I want you to be thinking about that every day when you're practicing. And, like, when you are, like, having a hard time in a piece, reset and think about how you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I know a flute teacher somewhere just has a giant wooden stick, and she just will be like, you know, stand up straight. So I guess, I don't know if that's better or worse, but, like, a lot of teachers are worried because they're like, oh, well, how am I supposed to teach effectively if I need to be held to all of this stuff? What if they, like, see it a different way? It's like, don't be a creep, and your students won't. Also, everyone's recording their lessons anyways, so, like, keep it like a teacher-professional relationship. Like, you can be someone's mentor without, like, going over the line, but, yeah, that's an ongoing problem, I think.
and particularly because of your experience, you know, you have a lot of networks within the Boston music scene. Have you noticed sort of a trend for like all female bands, particularly maybe like in the college and sort of like conservatoire level, growing because of this boys club mentality that they want to, that the women want to break out on their own?
I actually, there's been a lot of chamber groups, especially that are all girls, like a brass trio or a brass quintet that's just all women. I think one problem that's still facing it is the like tokenism aspect, where you think that like, oh no, I'm the only girl, mm-hmm. and there's only one place for me. I think that that is still a mentality that people need to work through, because that's definitely something that you experience. Even if like the majority of the studio or the women in the studio, like all three of us, if two of us are like, oh yeah, everything's fine, like great that you got that part, I support you. If there's, you know, one person who's like, no, that's my part, oh my god, you stole that from me, you're like, you're playing into the game, don't do it. But for, yeah, the most part, it's I've seen a good amount. I've also seen I've noticed that the best players that I know have mainly been women, because we have to work harder. And then you're gonna wanna collaborate with that person more than with someone who has a huge ego. And the you know, collaboration is such a huge aspect of it. If you have too big of an ego and you can't take any criticism without becoming completely like offended, you're not marketable, kind of thing. You're not gonna be someone people want to collaborate with.